Hello and welcome back to the Dialcast, hosted by myself, Ash Wilson. Every week, we'll be bringing you all the latest and exclusive news from Dial Square Football Club, run by the fans, for the fans. We'll also be providing you exclusive interviews with the board, players and fans to keep you entertained as often as we can with all things relating to Dial Square Football Club. Last time out, Ian Selly kindly agreed to join me for an interview. Thank you to those that listened. And if you haven't, then please give it a listen. We're on all the usual platforms. Had some amazing feedback for that show. So then, who is next? Who is the special guest this time? Well, without further ado, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by lifelong Arsenal fan and Dial Square membership secretary, Joanne Tester. Joe, how are you? And welcome onto the Dialcast.
Hey Ash, yes, I'm good, thank you. Yes, thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, brilliant. Glad to have you on, Joe. I'll just start off with an easy one and bring you all the way back to the beginning. Let our listeners know a bit about you, a bit of background about you. Where did you grow up, Joe?
Yes, so I grew up in Guildford, and I lived there. My parents still live there. And moved to kind of the other side of Woking probably about 20 years ago now. So yes, so my Arsenal following career started in Guildford. In those days, there was a lot of people from Guildford who followed Arsenal. So and many of whom I'm still sort of friends with and keep in touch with. So that's good.
So, who was your inspiration for supporting Arsenal? Was it Dad?
Yeah, it was my dad. I always went with my dad. So I think my first game was when I was about sort of 10, I was nearly 11. And then I was very lucky to get my first season ticket in 88. So it was I was really lucky and kind of had a season ticket ever since. I did have a couple of years out when I had my kids, but kind of yes, ended up going home and away again, which is what I've always done. It's kind of been my life really.
What was your first memory of being taken? What stands out the most to you of your first ever game?
Yeah, so I remember we went in the North Bank, and in fact, my dad never used to stand in the North Bank. He was always clock end, but we went in the North Bank that game. And then from the age of about 12, really, he went back to the clock end, and I was standing in the North Bank. I kind of knew a couple of people. Of course, then it was so different. You met people. Again, lots of them who I'm still in contact with and who I would sort of class as my best friends. So stood on the North Bank and used to at half time jump over into the East Stand through the junior gunners section, always sat in George's seat on the way round, and then we would get chased by the groundsman at the time, Steve Braddock, jump over into the clock end and meet my dad for the second half. But it was obviously very different times then. But yes, I mean, I was regularly kind of on my own at 12, 13 in football grounds all over the country with my mates, and I would just meet my dad afterwards.
Brilliant. Bit of stand hopping as well.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, the groundsman, he used to absolutely hate us every game. I mean, he would shout and swear, but it was all part of the fun. So yes, I would always like to sit in George's seat. George is still my number one hero. So it was really, really good days. It was great. But and of course, then there wasn't many sort of young girls who followed football like I did, sort of home and away. So yeah.
That's what's gonna moving on to that next, actually, Joe. Being a female in a male-dominated world, at the time, obviously it's not like that now. The women's game is very, very prevalent in the mainstream. How what was that like?
Yeah, so do you know what? At the time, I never ever even thought about it. It's only been in more recent years, I think. But yeah, it was just what I always had done. And I mean, there was never any comments made. It was just just part of my life. So, and it was around the time, obviously, the late 80s was when the Arsenal ladies team, who were an exceptional side at the time, well, still are, but I mean, we were kind of leading, us and Doncaster Bells, in women's football. So it was all around that time. I think there was an increase in female fans probably after Euro 96, and probably also after Fever Pitch, when Arsenal suddenly came, it became a bit trendy to follow football. So yeah, it was but in those days, I mean, there was a few of us who were sort of female around my age, but On the whole, there wasn't very many at all, but obviously you see, lots of females at football now, and the ladies game in particular. And I go and watch the ladies too when I can.
Were you at the talking about the ladies' team? Were you at the FA Cup final at Sellers Women's FA Cup final at Sellers Park against Fulham? I think it was 2000,
No.
2001 or 2002. No, I was there, so I was just thinking if you were there as well. No,
Right, yeah.
and
Yeah, no, I wasn't
yeah.
at that one. I mean, we kind of, I've obviously have watched them sort of home and away and over the years. Remember sitting at an away game once next to Marianne Spacey. Well, my dad sat next to Marianne Spacey, who was probably one of the best female footballers I've ever seen. So yeah.
I think she played in that game actually. What's your fondest early memory of supporting the Arsenal?
Oh, there's so many to mention. In terms of football and games, there's a couple. Obviously, I was at Anfield in 89, so I was, very fortunate at that time. So I was 12, and I remember us, we left very, very early. We always left early for away games. And even now, the people that I go with, it drives them mad because I'm a bit anal about not being late and being in the ground on time. And I always go in a particular turnstile. So 89 obviously will always stay with me. I think my first European away trip, which was Auxerre, but also a game at Selhurst Park in 91 when we were 1-0 down and we won 3-1, scored 3 goals in 7 minutes. And that game was particularly famous for Tony Adams sticking his fingers up in the centre circle. So, I mean, that was just, yeah, they were such good days, and it was pay on the gate. It was all very different. I think also around that time as well, another memory that will always stick with me was Luton away. It was snowing. It was when away fans were banned, and my dad and I went up, and we managed to get in the ground just after kickoff. We got kicked out. We got in again. We got kicked out. And I think that probably my first and only time I've got to say I've been thrown out of a football ground. So yeah, good days.
Going back to one of the games there, Joe, the Liverpool one at Anfield, that's the title winning game, the 1-0. Were you only the one of the only ones on time? Because I've watched the BT Sport documentary about it, and it seemed like 90% of the Arsenal fans were late because of hold-ups and traffic on the day.
Yeah, they were. They were. So I mean, and again, even to this day, it amazes me that. And I know people, obviously, they got stuck on the motorway. I know people who drove 100 miles an hour up the hard shoulder. I know on one of the supporters' coaches, somebody had a portable TV, and the whole coach was surrounded around that. But yes, even to this day, it amazes me that so many people got stuck because I just think it was the biggest game, for us for sort of years. Why did they leave so late? For me, being late, I can never quite understand it. But yeah, they yeah, I knew a couple of the guys from Guildford. They got stuck as well, but we were in the pub, probably in Liverpool, oh, I don't know, 5 o'clock, 4:30, and yeah, got back the next morning, probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. I As we pulled up outside our house, my sister and my mum had painted the Arsenal League champions on a massive sheet, and that was across our house. So yeah, I just smiled for weeks.
Yeah, brilliant. What a night. Childhood hero, as you said earlier in the show, you mentioned George Graham. Who about what about on the pitch?
Definitely, I think my first hero was Rocky.
Yeah.
He was everything. He was such an immense footballer, and I was really lucky to watch that, that era of footballers as well come through the reserves and kind of sort of see them through the youth team as well, because my dad and I would always go and watch the reserves and the youth team. Yeah, Rocky was absolutely immense. He was one of those players who could play literally in any era. And you don't get many of those now. Kieran Tierney is probably one, but Rocky certainly. He was an exceptional talent, and he was everything that Arsenal Football Club should have been about. He was classy, he was working class, he was grounded. And of course, he loved the club as much as we did. So, yeah, that's the only time I was ever really cross with George, when he sold Rocky.
Yeah, as you said about the class stuff, what a great individual he was. Thoroughly, thoroughly missed by everyone. And what a player. I mean, what an absolute player he was to watch. What a joy to watch. Was he part of your favourite Arsenal game of all time?
Yeah. No, he was. I mean, I've got so many memories of Rocky. I mean, you know, he was tough. He could score. Use both feet. Yeah, he was. Rocky's up there with in all my best memories of the Arsenal. Yeah.
What is your favourite game of all time? I think I've got one. I've got one in my head. I always, when I ask questions about this to people on my other podcast, I always have a game in my head, and I'm going to see if I get it right. So what was it?
I think that, you know, obviously, I think it was probably Anfield 89 in some ways, but I think it was, but QPR, like I said, in 91 was absolutely brilliant. Norwich at home when we won 4-3, was it? Yeah, that was that was when Spider beat his record appearance. That was an immense game as well. So yeah, loads of games, but probably not the ones that other people would say. So it's never been for me really cup finals or those type of games. But Man United as well, I think, away in the quarterfinal of the cup a few years ago, and I think that was because that was my son's first away game and his first quarterfinal. So and he came with us to that game. So yeah.
Ah, oh, brilliant. By the way, I got it completely wrong. I thought you were going to say Man United away, Mark Overmars.
Right, no, I was there that day. Yeah, I was there that day. No, my favourite games are always those, I think, that other people who were there definitely would get it, but they probably don't stand out to those who weren't there.
Yeah, definitely. Going to go into, like, modern football, as they call it, post 2000. What's your take on it, Joe? I mean, as a lifelong fan, somebody who's going in the 80s, all through the 90s, and now into post 2000. I mean, how much has the game changed for you? And how money, obviously, how money orientated it's become and stuff. What's changed for you?
Yeah, I mean, we've kind of, you know, it's like a monster's been created, really. So it changed, obviously, the Arsenal changed massively when we moved to the Emirates. And there's all kinds of reasons for that. So it became very corporate. But I think people also forget that Arsenal always had a little bit of that. So I remember standing on the North Bank protesting against the bond back in the 90s. You know, Arsenal Football Club were always looking at ways to make additional money out of their supporters, like lots of clubs. So we always, you know, we always kind of had that. I think, obviously, you know, I'll say all the usual things, Sky TV. For Arsenal in particular, Fever Pitch. I'm probably one of the few Arsenal fans that doesn't talk about Fever Pitch in sort of favourable terms, because we became fashionable. I never wanted Arsenal to be fashionable. You know, I've always quite liked it when everybody hates us. So we had a new breed of fans suddenly, and it kind of went from a very working class sport to a middle class pastime, and that's kind of stayed with us. I don't think the northern clubs have that quite so much, but my heart sank the other day when I looked at the plans for Everton's new ground. And I just thought, I mean, you know, Goodison Park is one of my favourite away grounds because it's a proper football ground. And I just thought, you know, you just don't realise what you're doing. I would have loved to have stayed at Highbury and would have been very, very happy. I stood in Highbury with kind of, you know, 18,000 fans at times. Never has bothered me at all. So yeah, I think Sky TV, and then of course that just pushed the money up. Then we had players who stopped being heroes and started being superstars. And I've never really liked that.
I'm exactly with you there. I'm with you on Fever Pitch as well. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't really enjoy the book, and as you said, I didn't really enjoy what the sight of football fan that came with it. Other clubs had exactly some other clubs in London had exactly the same problem. A lot of politicians, like really Etonians, were jumping on the bandwagon, especially around the Euro 96 era. You had all these politicians that suddenly became these massive football fans, and they've probably never been to a game in their lives. So yeah, I totally get where they're coming from, Joe. So
Definitely. It's always been a bit of a bugbear of mine, because I just think the kind of a middle class sport was hijacked, actually. And you know, when I first started following the Arsenal, it was, you know, I would go, and still do, I'm friends with people from all backgrounds. You know, it didn't really matter whether they were, builders or accountants or solicitors. We were all Arsenal, but it changed, and it's still there and probably more apparent than ever now. So I tend to, I go with the people that I was, going with 30 years ago, and we're all the same. And I often say to my son now, so he his name's Dennis and he's 18. And of course, he probably listens to me and thinks, you just never stop moaning. But this is the only Arsenal he's ever known. And he loves Arsenal. I always feel a bit sad that he's missed out on building those memories that I had by the time I was 18. You know, when I was sort of 17, 18, I was going to Europe on my own to watch us. So he'll never have that.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Especially with the prices as well now. I mean, you know, these when I was 17, 18 going to football, I could still afford it. And now these kids coming through now, they can't afford it on a week's wage unless they're in a really, really tough.
No.
It's a shame they can't, you know, an away day will cost them setting back 200 quid now. Do you know what I mean? There's no, it's just,
definitely.
They're not getting that same sort of, well, let's say, what word am I going to use? Rawness to it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They're missing out on memories, and you know, one thing I always kind of say to my kids is, you know, do things that make you smile and that make great memories, and yeah, I mean, and like you say, you know, we could all afford it then, but even if we couldn't afford it, we would blag our way in the ground one way or another. Yeah. You know, somebody would let us in. There was always, you know, the stewards were different. You know, you knew the guys or the women who worked on the turnstiles, and you knew you could knock on the turnstile 5 minutes after kickoff and get in. So it was just different. It was, you know, people talk about the Arsenal family now. But, you know, at that time, we really were a family. If you were Arsenal, you were looked after.
Oh, definitely. I can confess now to bunking into Highbury when I was 11 with my mate Jason. I went from Streatham, didn't pay for the tube, and we crawled under in the turnstiles of the North Bank, and some guy kicked me along and went, "Go on, mate." And he said, I'm sitting with my mate today. Our two seats are free. There you are, for me and my pal. And we went up and sat and watched Arsenal Man United. And I think it was Freddie Ljungberg's debut that day.
Right. Yeah. No, see, I love that. That's exactly what kids should be doing, I think. But, you know, it's a rites of passage, isn't it? It's that's what they should be doing. And other Arsenal fans should be supporting them to do that. And that's why I quite like the Ashburton Army. You know, they're a group of sort of youngsters who are kind of mobbed up together. And that they, you know, and I know some of them, and they're building friendships for life. And I often say to Dennis, you know, the mates you've got now, you'll be mates with in 40 years. So
yeah, brilliant. You can't beat it. So then, Joe, why did you join Dial Square? What's the main attraction? We'll move on to Dial Square now.
Yeah. So I spoke to Stuart, I was involved with kind of other Arsenal supporters groups, and Stuart spoke to all of us at the time about what he wanted to do. So it was before the club were formed. And I was always really interested in that concept. And it was never set up. It's never been an anti-Arsenal group. And that's the thing. I know when I heard you speak to John, You know, I mean, we all love the Arsenal. We just, you know, we just don't like modern football and what it is. So, yeah, so I've always wanted to be involved with something like that. And then Stuart set it up, and then I've been over to watch them a number of times with my dad, and it's just such a nice feel. It's really nice to be with like-minded supporters on a Saturday, you know, when your kickoff is. There's no ridiculous kickoff times, and at the moment it's fairly local to me, but that's not the reason really for me, because obviously the plan is to move into London. And so yeah, so it's literally up the road for me at the moment, but obviously we really want to be moving the club into London at the earliest opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. If you explain to listeners that don't know what your role at the club is, if you just explain your role at the club and your aspirations as well, within your role at the club.
Yeah, so I'm the membership secretary, so I just kind of administer all the membership requests, and we're looking at new ways for next season, how we can improve that. So I think I'm okay to say that next year we have three levels of membership this year. Next year there'll just be one level. Obviously really looking at keeping it very affordable. So we will also have a monthly payment option, because again, you know, we want the club to be accessible and inclusive. The last thing we want to be doing is pricing anybody out. So obviously it's free to watch Dial Square at the moment, but the membership goes towards the running of the club. Obviously we're paying for the hire of the pitch at the moment, the kit and everything, you know, so we do have expenses. And what we want to do is obviously increase that membership as much as we can, but we're not kind of greedy in terms of, you know, we're not saying we want thousands of thousands of members, because it's really important that we're with our members that we get it right. And actually what we want to do is make sure that they're involved in the decision making and included. And I think that the club have already shown that by allowing people to vote for the kit, which was a really, really good idea. So yeah, that's the plan really. We want to make sure that the members are at the heart of everything we do. But even if people don't want to be members but still want to come along and support the club, you know, that's okay. We've got some ideas for next year. So we'll have a loyalty type scheme which will be called Sundial Points, and more about that will be coming out soon. And that's about how they can earn points. And they can be redeemed in the bar or at the club shop. And we've sort of worked out of ways. So people who live, we've got quite a few overseas members now. So we've worked out how they can also get points that can be redeemed. What else have we got going on? So we're also going to team up with a charity for next season, and we're just waiting for a little bit more confirmation on that. But the charity is in Woolwich. And so we're looking at raising a bit of money for them, and people can also possibly donate some of their Sundial points to the charity. So yeah, we're really excited about that. It's a really great charity.
That's excellent news. Excellent news. Really, really positive stuff to hear. It's first I've heard about that. Yeah, brilliant. So,
Yeah, I think the point is we want to keep it, you know, we've got it's you know, we've got to keep that balance all the time, you know. I mean, Dial Square has been set up as an alternative to the Arsenal, not a replacement. And so we've got to be mindful of the supporters that we're going to attract, and they're people that don't want all the sort of frills in football. They just want to come and watch their football team or invest in some grassroots football. So we've got to, you know, make sure that we pitch it right, and we, you know, we keep ourselves attuned with what the supporters always want.
definitely. I'm going to go back to your point there about getting the right type of members in. You want people to stay, not just get, as you said, not get like a massive pool of like thousands of members, and a lot of them just go after a season or stuff like that. The club want people to stay year on year, year after year,
Yeah,
and yeah, I actually think
absolutely.
that will happen.
Yeah, so do I, because I mean, anybody who, can come and watch Dial Square will most definitely come again. And because it really is, it's a lovely atmosphere. It's everyone's very welcoming. You literally spend 90 minutes kind of just chatting and laughing. You're close to the pitch. You can speak to the players. You can speak to the managers. Yeah, so definitely it has that pull of just going back 2 decades, really. When you're there, you're with sort of like-minded supporters. So it is, it's really important. And we've got to, to succeed as a football club, we've got to let it grow organically. We've got to let it build itself. We could put all kinds of things in and possibly bring more sort of members through the doors tomorrow, but that's kind of forcing it. And I think Stuart's always very clear as well that this club isn't owned by any one person, it's owned by the supporters, so it will grow in the way it's meant to grow. So we've got to be patient with that.
Yeah, definitely. 100% agree. So where do you see Dial Square in a few years' time? What's your dream?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, definitely it would be, personally, I would like us to be playing in Woolwich. And I think at the time it will probably go to the members to vote, whether it's North London or South London. Certainly my vote would go to South
And mine.
London. Yeah. So yes, I hopefully we are well on our way, or if not embedded, into London and wherever that may be at that point. I think the new managers coming in will be really exciting. I listened to their podcast with you, and I was really, really excited, and have kind of looked at some of the other stuff they've done. So I think that there will be real positives on the pitch as well, because last season, one, obviously it was stop start because of COVID, but also it was the first season, and so the club went through some players, because you sign players, or and they may not be the right fit for you. So it was there was some teething going on there, but I'm really, really confident in the new managers, and their ideas have been fantastic. I know they're very keen on youth football as well. So that will be something that hopefully develops. Hopefully, more and more supporter involvement will be really good. And we've just got to work out how to pitch that and what the supporters want. And that will be an evolving thing, I think, over the next season or so. We need to be talking to them more and more to find out what part they want to play in the club.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be good for all fan members, to always like sort of email ideas in or tweet ideas to the club and stuff like that. And that's what fan-owned football is all about, where everyone gets a say, everyone gets a suggestion, everyone gets a vote, and everyone just works together. Another thing I was going to mention about the managers as well, they're so approachable. It seems so approachable. This is what you get at this level of football, especially fan-owned club as well. You support a Premier League club, or you go to the Emirates, or saying you're not going to get near the manager unless you're like unless you're accredited
No.
media. And but now you can speak to the players, have a photo with them, get your kids to meet them and have a run round with them at half time or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It's like what
Yeah.
football should be about. It's what football is about to me. So.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's it. And also, these guys have been around local football. So and they spoke about that, they will attract good footballers. There's no doubt about that. So yeah, and they're part of the community, as well. They don't live too far from where the club train and play at the moment. So they're sort of local fellas themselves. And yeah, I'm really, really confident. I'm really excited about what they're going to bring. So next season will be a big, big season for Dial Square.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to down to a game and chomping at the bit. That's a bit far for me, but I can still.
Yeah.
If there's a will, there's a way with me. I'll get somewhere. If I need to get there,
Yeah,
I'll get there. Trust me on that. So, finish off with something a bit light-hearted, Joe. Funniest. Funniest.
can I talk? Can I just mention something about the membership as
Yes.
well? So what we're going to do is, for the month of March, The membership is going to be £30. And for that £30, you get your scarf and you get your badges and a certificate. But what's really important about joining now, we're going to close the membership on the 31st of March for this season, because then we'll release the new membership details for next season round about May time. But if you want to become a member, in our first season, then you also get your name embroidered on onto the shirt, which will be there for 2 years. And at the moment, I think we've got about 40 members at the moment, and all of those 40 people who have become members in our first season will be part of a very special club, really. So we'll release more details in the next couple of days about that. But membership will be £30, and you will be put in our Hall of Fame as our sort of inaugural membership.
Get in, I'm in the Hall of Fame. My
You
name's
are,
going
you're
on
going to be in
the
the
shirt.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait to buy that shirt, actually. I'm gonna put it in a frame, have it in my mini office that I've got in my house. Well, not an office, it's just a desk and a chair, but I can put it up on the wall. What's the f Joe, you've been home and away with the Arsenal all your life, been all over Europe. There must be a funny story in there, Joe, surely. Could be about yourself or anyone. What's the
There are so many. I don't want to
Uh,
incriminate
I'm worried
anybody.
about that.
There's so many. I think that I mean, one thing is I often go to away games with a guy called Charlie, and known him sort of 30 years, and he's very well known around the Arsenal. And literally, he got really obsessed with Ozil. So we would go to away games, and he would just talk endlessly about Ozil and just moan and everything else. But yes, definitely, going with him is always a bit of a highlight, and very funny. Yeah, we've had all kinds of things. We've driven away from a petrol station on the way back, from an away game once, without paying, not deliberately. And the guy who did that is probably listening to this. There's just been so many. And of course, like sort of all football supporters, it doesn't really matter whether stuff happened 30 years ago. We still talk about it like it was yesterday, and never let anybody forget anything. We used to go to a really awful cafe in Alsager, and the guy who run it was really not quite right at all. When we kind of all knew this, he was but he would we would phone him on the way to put in our order, and he would kick everybody else out of the cafe, and probably just thought, the Southerners are coming. We paid him quite well. And we went to a pub actually with him one game, Port Vale. And I do remember, never quite been in a pub like it. As he walked in, there was somebody standing at the bar, wetting themselves, literally. Seen it all, seen it all.
Sounds like a few pubs I've frequented in my time, put it that way. Oh, you just can't beat it. I mean, as you said, the memories for life, these things stick. I always talk about stuff with my mates as well, like they were yesterday. You just, as you said before, but how about about your son now? It's now his turn to do that, and yeah, I really hope he does, because you literally just cannot beat away days and the whole thing that goes around it. Sometimes, I mean, to me, if the football gets in the way, it does.
I mean, that's like, I mean, we can, go up to Sunderland, Middlesbrough, have a brilliant day. The one thing you could have almost guaranteed is that with 90 minutes, the Arsenal were going to ruin it. But I mean, that's it. It's and friendships are built for life. So like I said, I mean, my sort of best friends are, I met them as a teenager. I was 13, 14, and we still speak pretty much nearly every day now. And so they will always be my friends. And I think there's something very different, isn't there, about the friendships that you make whilst following football.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about that. It certainly lasts a lifetime. And I've seen it all. You've seen people fall out, they've had fights, but you all just come back together again
Yeah, every
always.
single time. Maybe your son could start his journey with Dial Square, and make the memories that way.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, he's definitely he was he came downstairs the other day, so he was wearing the Dial Square shirt. And particularly likes the Badgers as well. So he hasn't been over yet. He sometimes goes to watch Woking with his mates because that's our local team, and to watch Leatherhead as well. So definitely he will definitely come over to Dale Square, yeah, and he will really like the cheap
Yeah,
bar.
brilliant. Cheap, did you just say cheap bar?
Yeah, the cheap bar. He'll love that, a cheap
I would
bar.
love
Yeah.
that.
There is a fair bit of drinking that goes on at Dale Square.
Well, I'll fit in then. I'm sorted. Yeah, but yeah, his mate, telling him and his mates to come to Dial Square games, start their memories there. Because non-league football,
Yeah.
the memories you get from home and away games are even better. Some of the stories are,
Oh,
like
definitely.
you can get from non-league is incredible. So, Joe, thanks very much for agreeing to come on the show and talking passionately about the club and your role at the club and membership and what fan-owned football means to you and all your memories supporting the Arsenal. Loved every second of it. Thank you very, very much. And I'm sure all our listeners will as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Ash. Yeah, if anybody wants to know more about the membership, particularly up until the end of March, you can email me at joanne@dialsquarefc.com.
Brilliant. There you go. She's just done my job for me as well. I was going to say that. So, yeah, brilliant. Cheers for that. Guys, we're on Twitter. At the Dialcast is the podcast page. So please give that a follow. But more importantly, at Dial Square FC1 is the official club's Twitter account. Please, please, please give that a follow. Please click the link as well to the website. Have a look if you haven't already. As Joanne said there, please, please give her an email if you are interested in becoming a member. And as Joanne said, it's going to be down £30 now. You get an equal vote. Everyone gets an equal vote. And as said, you get a scarf and a pin badge and a certificate as well to put up on your wall or wherever you want to put it. It's up to you. You've been listening to the Dialcast, guys. I'll be back next week with another very, very special guest who Stuart, our chairman, has managed to secure. I'm going to thank him very much for that one. It's a very, very good one. Watch out on our social media channels. I will be announcing that, or we will be announcing that in the next couple of days. Joe, again, thank you. Take care and stay safe. Let's hope fans are back very, very soon and I can fly down and meet you all and we'll all have a beer and watch a game.
Yeah, lovely.
No
Thank you,
problem.
Ash.
Cheers.